had to swallow in the middle of that. Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Jim Sands. I get to serve Jesus with you, and I am just thrilled to be here and, as they say, back in the saddle for a few more weeks before baby Sands gets here and I take another month off. But what a glorious day. I've still got spit. I'm out of practice. I'm so thankful for Mana. Aren't you? I'm thankful for Mana. Oh, my goodness. Thankful not only for the gifts she brings to this church with her worship leading, but with her heart and her spirit that just are infectious, aren't they? And I'm thankful for you for filling in for me, for insisting that I take a week off and holding me accountable in my family and the way I care for my wife and soon-to-be daughter and my son. So just giving thanks for your gifts and the way you take care of me and this church. What a blessing you are to me. And yes, I wrote a note on that piece of paper that says, offer him Jesus. And it's because what else are we here for? We have some social things that we do together, aren't there? And that's great. But the key to this whole thing, the reason that we're here, is to be offered Jesus Christ so that we can offer Jesus Christ to the people in the world around us. So I hope that when you leave this place today, if you get nothing from me, if you get nothing from the songs, even if you get nothing from the offerings or communion, that if you leave here with something, it's that Jesus Christ is in your heart, and you offer him to the world around you. If you can do that, then we've done our work here today. So come with me in the scripture into this book of Mark, which we've been studying for a few months now. Oh my goodness, excuse me. And I invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit, however you are able to show reverence for the one who this word tells us about, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Hear these words today. They came, the disciples and Jesus, to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 to him and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last, the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. We have heard your scriptures read. Now as they are proclaimed, I pray that it's your word and your word only that is taught to your people. May your Son fill this room and send us forth. In Jesus' name, amen. So, greatness. We have this word in our vocabulary called great, and these disciples are arguing among themselves. Well, I'm greater than you. Oh, no, no, no. I know what you did last week. I'm greater than you. Oh, no, no. Peter, you got it all wrong, John might say. I'm the greatest. You know, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. And maybe someone else, Philip, might say, no, no, no. I bring people to Jesus, so I'm the greatest. And they're having this argument, and they think that Jesus doesn't know until they get to this room and this house, and Jesus calls them together. So what were you arguing about? Nothing. You ever get called out by someone important? What were you arguing about? Nothing. And Jesus says, whoever wants to be great in my kingdom needs to make themselves a servant. That's not the idea of greatness that we have, is it? When I think of greatness, I think of maybe a great sports hero. Who was that guy who said, "I am the greatest"? Muhammad Ali. Yes, I am the greatest. I am better than anybody in the world at what I do. Think of the great hockey player, Wayne Gretzky. They called him the great one because he shattered all of the records by almost double the amount of the previous records. He destroyed them. So he was called the Great One. Of course, in Pittsburgh, we have some great people that we think of. Think of those sports teams in the 70s when the town got called the City of Champions. And you think of Mean Joe Green and Terry Bradshaw and Jack Lambert. And you say, wow, they were great. They were great sports heroes. And that idea of greatness is embedded into our fiber of our being. We want to be great. And Jesus, notice, doesn't rebuke them for wanting to be great. He doesn't say, how dare you want to be great, you disciples? You've got it all wrong. No, Jesus simply says, let me show you how to be great. It's not by boasting about how great you are. It's not by being the best at sports. It's not by being great like great leaders in the past, maybe Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. You think of great people like that. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you've got to make yourself low. Not going to boast about your greatness. In fact, you're going to be the servant. You're going to be the waiter at the table. You're going to be the one who washes the dishes. You're going to be the one who does the work behind the scenes that maybe no one will ever notice. That's how you will be great. Notice the reversal of fortune in the world. Brett, he's turned the world upside down with that thought that to be great in heaven is different from how it is to be great in our world. Jesus doesn't say don't be great, not at all, but he says be great in the heavenly kingdom. Don't worry about being great here on earth. Be great on earth by doing the work that no one else will do, going the extra mile, praying for your enemies, praying for people who would persecute you, praying for people who would kill you. Go the extra mile. Somebody slaps you on the face, you turn the other cheek and let them slap that one too. What will that do to our world? Do you think that if we were worrying more about being great in the heavenly kingdom, that this world would look like it does today? Where we all want to make ourselves feel important, where our politicians try to outdo each other in destroying one another and coming up with reasons to hate the other side. I don't think it'll look like that at all. I think it'll look like it'll look in a couple of weeks when this church says we want to be great. And we want to be great not by having a terrific program of discipleship, although that would be great. We don't want to prove ourselves to be great by having a church that's just filled with people so much that we have to have people outside to come in the doors. That would be great, but that's not the kind of greatness that impresses Jesus. Does it mean to be great to have, you know, a wonderful program of worship and leadership and ministry here? That would be great, but that doesn't impress Jesus. What will impress Jesus is when we say, let's look at the world around us, let's see who we are not serving, and then let's serve them. Let's go and let's find the people in our lives who don't know Jesus, and let's do something that offers them Jesus. We had a pile over here of toys. And we're going to take those toys and give them to children because we believe that we can serve others by serving the little ones, the children's hospital toys. When you do that, no one's going to pat you on the back. I can't stretch my arm that high anymore. No one's going to pat you on the back and say, well, what a great job you did. You might have just dropped them off anonymously. God knows you've made yourself great in the kingdom of God. Congratulations. You've done the right thing. We do these things so that we can be great in the heavenly kingdom. We're going to go down into town in a couple of weeks, and we're going to give away coats. And you might say to yourself, Pastor Jim, we did that last year. What have they done to deserve a coat? What have they done to earn the just give them a coat? Why are we going to do that? Well, we believe that when we do that, when we make ourselves the servants of all, we're going to bring them Jesus. We're going to offer them Jesus right where they live. And what better way than if it's a cold day, you put on a coat and you say, I have this coat because God loves me, because Jesus loves me. And this coat was given to me by people who don't even know my name, but they love me and they gave it to me. We're going to make ourselves the servants. Not going on to that town square to impress the town. We're going down there because Jesus has told us that when you do these things for the least of these, those little children, you are doing it for me. When you welcome those children, you are welcoming me. So when we go down there, we're not just doing it to meet the town folks, although we will, and that'll be great. We're going down there because we know when we encounter those children, when we encounter those adults who need a coat and we give it, that we will meet Jesus Christ. That's why we do it. That we will see Jesus Christ in the face of a little girl who says, I get to keep this and take it home. We will encounter Jesus Christ in the one who says, I'm so embarrassed, I don't have the money to buy this for myself, and you offered it to me, and I'm thankful. We know we'll encounter Jesus in the ones who say, I have nothing, and I wish that I had the capacity to do this myself, but I don't. And you offered it to me, and you didn't have to. Thank you. We will encounter Jesus Christ. If you're not excited about meeting Jesus, I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you're here. And you get to participate in this, my friends. If you have a coat, you go to the store and you buy a coat, you leave it here at the stack up here, you're encountering Jesus. When you are down, if you go with us and you participate in that ministry, you're encountering Jesus. But here's the thing, my friends. As you go through the checkout line, and if you go through the line where there is someone who is taking your item and beep, beep, running it through that machine, guess what? You're encountering Jesus. Because they're the servant. When you go to the restaurant and the person that comes to your table and says, how can I take your order? Guess what? You're encountering Jesus. And if you would go into the back of that kitchen, they don't like that, but if you would go to the back of that kitchen and you'd see the guy who's going to take your dishes and wash them, and the guy who's preparing your food, guess what you would do? You'd encounter Jesus. Look for those people in your life who serve you, and you will find Jesus. But here is the wonderful, wonderful thing to tell you, my friends, that when we become the servants, other people will encounter Jesus in us. Wow. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.